Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Cool. So good morning again. Thanks for everybody being on here. Just real quick, just to give a introduction for who is on the call. We have Chris Vopinick, who is, I'm assuming, back in California at this point. He missed lunch yesterday at the college camp, but did you make it back, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Was that a yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have Abraham Garcia Pacheco, Tony Garcia Pacheco, Joe Torres, Chris Jimenez back on the call, and just trying to create consistency on Mondays with, you know, what our direction is for the following week, upcoming months, things like that. Quickly want to just kind of go through a recap on what is considered one of our better recruiting events of the year that we host internally with NCBA, and that's the college camp we hosted at Cypress College this past weekend. About 23 schools on Saturday, about, I want to say, I counted 26 coaches on, or college coaches on Sunday. And, you know, for the guys that were there, you know, we have, you know, Bam Abraham, who recently took a job as an assistant at Cal State San Bernardino. Oh, Chris got, Chris is trying to get admitted again into the call. And then Chris Jimenez, who was there the last couple days as well, just kind of getting a recap of what you guys felt that experience was from a coach's standpoint, but then also like where you saw talent levels at that event. And you know, I guess kind of want to, again, connect the dots between like how things have been different, or how things are different this year versus years past from a talent and recruiting level. Maybe just call on Bam first to see if he knows how to turn on his mic, and then and give your two cents on what you feel, like what your experience was and what you saw at the camp yesterday, and how you feel like that was a beneficial experience for players.
Yeah, I mean, it was great to see a lot of other coaches there. From a coaching standpoint, being able to talk to the other people there and seeing what they think about certain players. But when you're analyzing the players, you realize that, you know, over the past few years, technology and training has gotten so much more important to these kids', you know, lives. And so you can really tell the difference out there to which kids really prioritize their training and go out on a weekly basis and get their work in. And you can really tell, you know, the talent was really great. Like, there was kids from all over the place, and they're out there and they're giving themselves the best shot to get noticed by, you know, one or two coaches is really all you need. I think from a parent/player standpoint, I think that's like an amazing event. Like, if I was a player, you know, few years back in high school, like, that is like the perfect event. Like, put in all my work in my trainings, and then I go out there and I show what I can do in front of all these coaches. It was overall, I think it was a great, successful event for sure.
Cool. Hey, Manis, what do you got?
Yeah, just to kind of touch on what you were saying, Joe, the senior class, that 2026 class at the event, you just tell they were a little bit more physical than like the 2028s, even some of the 2027s. But yeah, The 2026s by far stood out to me. Being a JUCO guy, recruiting like that older senior, obviously it's kind of tough to recruit juniors and sophomores. So spent a lot more time looking at the seniors. The guys that were seniors, definitely you could tell that they had their makeup made up. And you kind of knew what you were going to get. So the younger guys, there were some that probably weren't ready for the event. I think it's still a good experience for them. So parents, players, I think it's a great experience to at least have your kid go out there, even if he's not a junior or senior. But just understand if you're kid isn't getting any communication from colleges after that event, it's either because they're too young and coaches actually aren't able to talk to them, or maybe they're just not ready. So I think some of those freshmen and sophomores that we did see, maybe a little bit undersized still, they haven't filled out, not as developed as some of those seniors. So the attention kind of went a little bit more into the senior side, I think, this weekend. But yeah, the overall talent was better than the last few years, I believe. And I think we had a much better turnout this year as well.
And I agree with all that. And so I'm gonna kind of sit back a little bit and just kind of maybe let you guys talk a bit more about this. And this is where I think Chris Vopnik can come in and Joe Torres can come in and talk, maybe talk on points regarding, why. And I think this just kind of reinforces things that we already know, but maybe parents and players don't know. So it might be repetitive for us. But, especially when you see like incoming freshmen or sophomores, right? And this is the, this could be the first time they're hearing these things regarding, why, guys are not getting recruited as early as they used to, right? Just kind of, again, Vope and Torres weren't at this event, but they're, they can clearly give an accurate description on why those things are happening.
I think it's a culmination of kind of the last 4 years of what's gone on. It's just going to kind of boil in. I do think college baseball is better than it's ever been. I think players are getting to us more physically developed, right, than in the past. Even 10 years ago, not everybody had a hitting guy or a pitching guy or a private facility guy or this or that. Guys are getting to us better prepared. Which lets us be a lot more analytical in the way that we recruit guys. I also think there's just more guys. 20-round draft, cut down. All of a sudden, those guys are now, that are usually late-round high school draft picks are now in college. Well, those guys are now filtering down to Division II, now to filtering down to Division III, obviously filtering to junior college, because I don't think people's recruiting budgets and everything has caught up. So still on. Any given weekend, you're still only allowed three coaches out. If you're a Division One, there's a lot of places to be for only three coaches. So the fact that, CBA had that many coaches is a huge thing because it's not always easy to facilitate schedules, to get guys to different places. I think the fact that CBA has been as good as it's been for as many years as it's been has a huge impact. Guys are going to show up, right? Guys are going to get in planes and land and go right to Cypress College and, spend a weekend away from their families to go find players to do their jobs. That's huge. I do think that, it's just kind of a sign of the times. We are entering into September and there's still probably 2,500 kids in the portal that don't have a place to go to school right now. Just because of it is what it is right now. It's the wild, wild west. The NCAA is changing rules every year. But that being said, I think that is why kids aren't getting recruited. Most kids, I will say, aren't getting recruited as early as they used to. And I think it's just kind of finding the new normal and the new average and the new rules.
And to touch on that too, I mean, I would say, and this is just rough numbers, I think I'm just kind of estimating in my head compared to years past, I would say that there's at least a 50% drop off, I think, in recruitable kids this year in the graduating class. And what I mean by that is at maybe this time, 2 years ago, I would say like for every 100 recruitable players, I would say, 75 graduating seniors.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Here's would have an idea on where they're going. Maybe that might be too much, but somewhere around that number would have an idea on where they're going to school next year at this point, right? If that makes any sense. And I think that that number is diminished drastically. And I think we're looking at maybe a quarter of the guys have an idea, whether they're committed or not to a college, they have an idea on where they're probably going to land next year from a collegiate standpoint, if that makes any sense. I hope it does. I just think that, with all those variables, with the shorter draft and with the portal and all that stuff, right? I think that one, what I'd like to maybe instill for players that aren't recruited yet or aren't committed yet is that sense of staying consistent because it's going to work out for most of them, right? So fielding phone calls or text messages almost on a daily basis regarding, okay, why, what's going on with colleges? How come they're not recruiting my son? A lot of that stuff's out of their control at this point. So, opening up the door, I think, becoming a more open-minded player and athlete, opening your mind towards the idea of smaller division programs, junior college, all that stuff, I think needs to be more of a realistic options at this point for a lot of guys. Not saying everybody, obviously. There's still a lot of guys that they're going to have that opportunity to play in the upper echelon NCAA Division I baseball, but just giving that time and just with Vope, I'd like to get your 2 cents on that too quickly. Doesn't have to be a long this doesn't have to be a long meeting between us, but it
Stay open. That's all.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I think that one, it's a testament to where our program is at, first and foremost, just that we have that many good players within our org. But also, I think it's just with the times have changed and it's a much later process now. Like you go back 5 years ago and we're having these camps in Vegas and your best players were your freshman, sophomore class because your older guys kind of already committed. And so I think that timeline has just changed for obviously several different reasons, like Joe touched on with the draft getting cut back. Obviously, the portal plays into that where you got these mid-majors where they're not going to go get a high school kid like they would have before and developed him, kind of like that fringe guy that you come in and put on some weight and grows into a star because he's just going to leave after you do. So whether it's right or wrong, some schools buy into that philosophy. They want to just go pull a guy from the portal that's physical enough already because he's 3 years older, and that's what they need to be able to compete at the highest level. So I don't think that there's a lot of those players that have that chance to commit early, where maybe a Long Beach State or like a Big West school is going to take a junior with some upside. That kid kind of has to go prove it at a junior college now or at a D2 or D3. And then again, that's just goes and they get recruited out of there. So I think just the timeline of it has changed for those several different reasons. I think the roster limits with college that they've kind of been going back and forth on in the last few years obviously played into that too, where a lot of these guys just didn't know how many roster spots they're gonna have available. They don't want to go bring in an influx of people and then find out next year they've got to cut 10 of them, or whatever that number was that they were going to decide was kind of out of their control too. But I think now that they've got a better idea of that and they've set kind of a groundwork of weaning that those rosters to that number, I think it was 34 or something like that. Now that they have an idea and know what they're doing, I think you'll start to see some more of those guys get recruited earlier on, like it was a little bit.
Yeah. And do you ever think there's going to be a shift back to that where it gets back to recruiting? I would say underclassmen, for where there's a focus on that more, or do we see it just kind of trending in this way where it's always going to be, you know, hey, you know, 2026 is, or I'm sorry, graduating seniors and maybe, you know, incoming or juniors, maybe, you know, if they're, you know, physical enough to get earlier, or do we see something down the line where somebody's like, hey, you know what, I'm going to go after younger guys and see how that goes.
I think it's going to go back. I would think in the next 2 to 3 years, because we kind of follow the pro model. So if you've been watching the draft this year, all of a sudden people were jumping on high school shortstops left and right. I mean, that was what was normal when I was playing. And then they got away from it. Now they're going back to it. I think the draft is going to get younger. That's going to kind of make us force us to be younger, because after next year, there's no more COVID years. So after next year, we're back to the traditional 4 and 5 years, you know, 4 and 6, if you have some debilitating injury or something like that. But, you know, I think after next year, we're going to get rid of the 24, 25, 26 year old college players. That will kind of filter its way down. I also think a lot of it's just kind of place to place. If you're a recruiting coordinator that's been somewhere for 10 years and you've got trust from your head guy, then I think you're going to go all in on high school guys, because I think they're better. I think that's a better way to, you know, really make the program run for a while. Because if I can go get a shortstop at 18 and he comes in and he's a stud and he wants to stay, I no longer need to go find a shortstop for 4 years. I don't want to go every single year searching for a new guy at every place. That's not the ideal for anybody, let alone, you know, recruiting guys. I think it's going to be kind of aged out a little bit with the COVID rules and things changing. I also think a lot of it's going to be, you know, I mean, face the facts of it. If you're a recruiting coordinator, you're paid off of win and losses. So my ability to put food on the table is, are we winning games or losing games? And I think right now, with the players being older and more developed, and with, I mean, everybody's got COVID guys, everybody's got portal guys because of the rules. If you're not doing that right now, you're probably going to get blindsided. I can't roll out with a bunch of 18-year-olds to go play 22-year-old grown men. But when everybody's playing 18 to 21-year-olds, now all of a sudden it's going to be even, you know, Stevens, and I think it's going to go back. I don't ever think it'll go back to what it was, you know, 10 years ago, because I thought that was crazy. Like, trying to predict what a kid's going to be when he's a sophomore in high school is absurd. He hasn't shaved yet. We always say, you know, I'm trying to write a guy in a lineup that hasn't ever shaved with a straight razor yet. He's just shaving with a plastic spoon. You're predicting and projecting, but, you know, how many guys you guys have been around that are, you know, okay high school sophomores, and then senior year they hit their growth spurt, and now all of a sudden they're 180 pounds and the ball jumps off the bat a little more, and you're like, man, that guy was always a good player. He was little. He just developed little. You know, Coach Jimenez and myself are still waiting for our growth spurts. And I'm 30, so, you know, those will come at some point. But Coach Jimenez and I played against each other at Blair Field. There was no height requirement there, so it doesn't matter. I think it's going to go back. It's going to kind of back its way in. But I think it's going to be kind of a process.
Are you shaving with a spoon, Joe?
No, absolutely not. No.
Yeah, I think like those high school guys, unless they're surefire impact guys, like those, the power four schools aren't recruiting them either, because they just wait for them to go to a mid-major and let them actually produce at the Division I level. And then they just go pluck whoever they want. They don't need to take a gamble. It's more of a, or less of a risk doing it that way than taking that fringe guy. Again, that's got to come in and you have kind of a vision for him on how he's going to develop and get better. You let somebody else do it and then you just go grab him. And then I think it also, that kind of affects a little bit how some of the mid majors recruit these guys too, because they don't see a power four school on them. So it may get them to kind of shy away a little bit. For whatever reason, people have that human nature in them, or if somebody else wants them, it makes them think they're more valuable. Whether he's actually better or not, who knows? But I think all that kind of plays into it too, why these guys, unless you're like a surefire guy, that timeline is just going to be a lot later down the road for them.
Yeah. Well, and then I guess that also leads into, like, when you're touching on a power four guys, we used to have at our camp, I mean, we used to have like Michigan, TCU, you know, trying to think of like, you know, UCLA every year at our college camps, right? And then now it's like, you know, when you're inviting them out, they're like, well, you know, what kind of athlete do you have there? Or like, what kind of player is going to be attending? And then you look at the roster, you're like, okay, maybe you could sit this one out. Not that our guys will never get there, but there's, I think, more steps that our players need to take to have that opportunity down the road. And so, yeah, I mean, we did have a rep from Arizona State, and, you know, after talking to some of the guys from the other Power Four programs that were supposed to be there, and it's like, well, okay, maybe this wouldn't be a good fit, you know, this year. You know, we'll see how it goes next year, but it doesn't mean it's not going to ever be in the cards for our players. It's just the way this, you know, whole college recruiting landscape has changed over the last few years. It's very different, obviously. So, you know, for me, this always has to lead back to development for our players, I think. I'd like to keep this, you know, pretty short and sweet. I don't know if we need to have these drawn out meetings for our players or parents, unless it's going to be, you know, we're going to, you know, pack in some entertainment value, some humor. But I think that we always got to, you know, come back with something practical that's going to be more meaningful for the people that are listening into this. What can our players take from this besides, okay, this is how recruiting is going? What can they take with, you know, from a practical standpoint, what can they do now to give themselves the best chance and opportunity, whether they are graduating seniors or, you know, going down to the 10, 11, 12 year olds and everywhere in between? Like, what can guys do now to give themselves the best opportunities to fit in at some college program at some point?
Yeah, I think for the older guys, kind of like 13, 14 and up, they've got to start to take nutrition seriously and start doing things that are going to make them a more physical athlete. Obviously, it's got to be baseball related, explosive movements, things like that. But like coaching in the Cape this summer with Jimenez, I mean, maybe five guys are out of shape that I can remember in that entire league. And these are like the best college players. And it's not a coincidence that like these guys are just more physical. They move better. It's a common thing across the board. And so if you're not working on that, you think just going to your hitting coach, your pitching coach is going to get you to that next level. It's not. These guys want to see guys that move better than everybody else on the field and guys that are physical. And so when they do make contact with the ball, or if they do miss it a little bit, it still goes. You have to hit the ball hard to win. In order to do that, you've got to be strong and move explosively. So I think those things get overlooked a lot. I know we've tried to do it a ton. I know you've been preaching to our guys for the last few years that I've been around in it, how important that stuff is. And it's kind of, you're slowly starting to see it more and more. And so I think anybody that's not doing that with the nutrition to go along with it, I think is falling behind. I think you're limiting really kind of how much you're getting out of yourself with all the baseball stuff if you're not doing that with it.
Yeah. And we talked about nutrition a bit last week.
Yeah, I agree with Vope 100% because, like, you know, every group's going to have a couple. Like, for us, we've got three guys coming in that, like, we've circled, like, hey, these guys need to fix something. Two of them, it's like, hey, this guy needs to put on weight because his body isn't going to be able to sustain a full season of high velocity. Even though he's done it in high school, it's different at the college level. They're going to play for 18 straight weeks here at our place in the season. So for us, it's like, you know, can you sustain that? To do that, you probably need a little meat on your bones. We tell guys early on, hey, we're not winning modeling contests. I don't care what your abs look like. It doesn't matter. You can't hold on to it for the whole year. You know, a lot of it's going to be like the physicality of, do you have enough on your bones to last a year? Do you have enough on your bones to last a full college fall, college winter, college spring? Because wherever you are, whether you're at junior college, obviously even more at the junior college level, because they can practice later and go longer and those seasons start earlier. But if you're just going to a hitting guy, I mean, there's a million guys. If I had to go watch a high school camp with 80 guys hitting, I would say just cold shoulder off the bat, 60 already are going to be like, hey, like that guy needs to develop in the weight room automatically, no matter what the swing looks like, no matter what, you know, everything else looks like, because just like pro ball, the game's changed. There's not very many guys that just whack a bunch of singles anymore. Pitchers have gotten really good at every level. Velocity's trickled its way down, stuff. We obviously have better metrics. So you better be able to put the ball in the gap or put the ball over somebody's head in order to score. And if you're not, then you better fly. And I mean fly, because catchers have gotten better and better. You know, when I played, there was a couple good catchers in the conference. Everybody knew who they were. We had stats, everything like that. Nowadays, everybody's got good catchers. I mean, guys are coming off the bench. Backup catchers are putting two ones and two flats on the bag left and right. So you better really fly if you want to steal bases. Taking care of kind of the physicality side is 50% of the puzzle, along with 50% just good baseball skills.
Yeah, I agree. Just a little bit of a tangent here. So if we're thinking like practicality standpoint again, we'll start probably phasing into, you know, more of a youth development focus when guys go back to high school baseball in the spring, right? So when we look at 12, 13, 14 year olds and they have an opportunity right now to prepare themselves for high school, what should those guys be doing? You know, we're talking about, you know, guys preparing for college, but what should those guys be doing now, 12, 13, 14 years old?
I mean, obviously it's a smaller scale, but I think fitting that model of trying to, again, start good habits. So when you do get to high school, you're ahead of the game. Obviously you're not going to go throwing around a ton of weight, but there's probably some stuff that they can do to start learning functional movements, and become a little bit better athletes. I think really just is a big emphasis on that part, even in the, like the fielding part of it, just trying to be athletic and have good movements with everything they're doing, not necessarily, just like textbook fundamental sound. Like obviously that's important too, but I think just trying to get kids to move as well as possible. And I don't know exactly what that looks like. That'd probably be more your expertise with it, or Jimenez, I know, does a really good job with that. But I think just anything on that avenue of, again, just trying to get them to be as good of athletes as possible. So when puberty hits or whatever that time is for them, they're not super behind.
Right.
I would add, just like, I know it's an old man yell at the clouds debate, but a lot of guys are becoming baseball specific, like sports specific, way younger than I've ever seen before. I think there's parts of it that hinder. I would tell them, like, just go play wiffle ball in the backyard with your friends. You're 14. You're supposed to, like, that will do leaps and bounds for guys that are just like quick twitch and development and things like that. Because when you get to the college level, guys are really athletic and really coordinated in lots of things. There's a lot of, you know, baseball programs, or if you threw a basketball out, you know, it would look like a real basketball game. There'd be guys dunking, guys doing things, you know, same with if you threw a football out, like we do flag football every fall with our guys, just to kind of, you know, we run routes and things like that, just to get some of that motor development and some of that athleticism back. Because I think you could fall into a trap of, oh man, I'm really athletic in these drills. I'm really athletic in these movements. There's a lot of things that baseball plays that you can't recreate in drill work. There's no way, right? There's absolutely no way to recreate that in drill work or things like that. I think that just comes from playing. And it doesn't have to be tournaments. It doesn't have to be this, that, you know, play wiffle ball, go play, you know, football, basketball with your friends. If you're that age, if you're 12, 13, 14, get outside and go do something, just no matter what it is. But get yourself outside, off the video games, off the, you know, couch. Just get out. Make sure you're moving around. And then, you know, I agree with Vope as well. It doesn't have to be heavy weight stuff, but just the ability to know, like, hey, your first day of high school weight room, you know what this all looks like. That's a huge, you know, step up on anybody else that's just rolling into it, you know, stone cold.
Agreed.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to add on that. I think there's been a change, you know, the past 10, 15 years, When I was growing up as a young player, it was kind of like get out to as many games as you can and go play. And that was like our way of developing. But now, with all the trainings that are offered, I think players should absolutely take advantage of speed training, strength training, extra hitting. But more importantly, I think kids need to take the advice of being more intentional with their trainings. You know, there's a difference between a group of players that go to a speed training session and they just want to just try to get through it without getting too exhausted or without trying to feel sore the next day versus players who really go in there and try to make the most of the situation and really prioritize, okay, let me really, really get after it this workout. So for the next workout, sure, I might be sore going into it, but for the third workout, I'm more ready for that one. And then you're just progressively getting better through being more intentional throughout your workouts and practices.
Agreed. Which, you know, when you get when you're I think teaching intention to younger players is a is virtually impossible sometimes. Sometimes you just like throw put them through the ringer and then just hope they get the adaptations you want. But then as they get to see those results, then intention becomes, I think, a natural progression in how they let me rephrase that. Intention is adopted naturally. As they see results and how they you know in how they're playing or what you know what kind of impact they're creating on the field. I think it's hard. You're going back to the 12 to 14 year old age, it's like, okay, yeah, we tell them to go to training because we tell them it's important, or we tell them to go to practice because we tell them it's important. But then a lot of times I think that they just don't know how to absorb that significance. And they're just doing what they're told because it's, you know, it's they believe in our leadership. And it's not till, you know, a couple of years of that, and they see how, you know, how things are working in their favor that they become more intentional. And then obviously when you get to college, then it's all about purpose and all about intention. And so no, I appreciate you guys' feedback with all that. I do, I mean, we can probably talk about this stuff all day long and move into different areas and topics. I'd like to maybe forecast some of those topics. I do want to do, you know, specifically probably with Torres, maybe Jimenez. Like to get maybe JD on a call, John Daniels on a call to maybe discuss like the performance and nutrition side. You know, maybe somebody else who I have in mind that I think would do a great job with that. I'd like to get into more position specific stuff. So Bam, Tony, you know, getting into catching work and just discussing, you know, we would invite Carlos Ramirez on the call, but nobody would really understand what he's got to say. So, but with you guys, I think that there's enough great knowledge there that we can improve just from having a discussion, having our guys listen in so they can improve hitting, fielding. I think there's enough knowledge amongst the people we have within our staff to maybe go into those topics in a deep dive and get, you know, help and reinforce that intention with the people that are listening in. So yeah, but again, I think we could talk about this stuff all day long. Don't really feel like we need to on one of these meetings, but appreciate your guys' feedback. And if you guys have any like last thoughts, yeah, feel free. Or questions or anything like that. Tony, what do you got? You still there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
What do you got? Any thoughts?
Kind of touching on like the younger kids, like how Torres was talking about, getting outside and playing wiffle ball. I think it's important for the especially the young guys that they got to have fun doing it, especially the young kids, because a lot of times, kids could just be showing up because their parents are getting them into it, and they really don't care. But I think finding ways of them actually enjoying it, and then learning how to fall in love with the process, because really that's you're getting better by, the process. The best players that I played with and that I knew, they were huge on just the process. They took that really serious and they fell in love with the little details and they got really good. And so I think that's important, but that comes from actually, loving the game and having fun with it, because it is a kid's game. So, I think sometimes that can get lost in some kids, and they feel, you know, because it's stressful sometimes. It's hard. It's hard on the mental. So, yeah, just making sure that the young guys remember, you know, it's got to have fun with it.
Okay.
Hey, I mean, Tony just reminded me, but Tony was with me last Monday, a week ago, in the end of practice, kind of as the conditioning. You know, it's silly and goofy, but we played three base pickle, essentially, three base rundowns. And the kids had a blast. I mean, they're like running and screaming and yelling and everybody's laughing and parents are laughing like, oh, like that looks fun. But if you take it from an actual, you know, biokinetic scent, like the kids are cutting, the kids are running, the kids are stopping. They're starting and stopping at different angles. They're stopping and trying to backpedal. They're changing directions. That's way more, you know, physically draining. I mean, the kids were gassed. They all slept great. I guarantee it. But in their brains, they just played games. Like, they just played games for the last 15 minutes of camp. They don't even know that there's speed training involved and that there's agility in that there's actual power in that, because you're going from a dead stop to full speed as fast as you can. If you told 12-year-olds, hey, this is what we're going to do, they would look at you like we're crazy. But if you can find a way to make it fun or find a way to make it engaging for them, you know, whether or not they know they're being trained is completely pointless. It's, you know, what they're actually doing. So we're trying to trick them a little bit. And I know Tony got some video, but that was fun. I mean, it was a great part of practice and it was needed. We had a tough practice. Like, guys had done a million reps. They got a ton of good work. Putting them on the line and running them sprints, yeah, it's absolutely going to help their foot traits, foot speed and things like that. But, you know, I don't think they would have gone home thinking, man, you know, they would have gone home feeling like, hey, we had a training session. Whereas I feel like a good amount of them went home and like, man, that was fun. Like, I'm looking forward to next week.
I remember that. You looked like you were having fun and looking forward to next week.
Yeah, my hamstrings were looking forward to next week. I'll still be stretching for a little bit.
You forgot to tell everybody that you were the one that they were all chasing to try to tag out in the rundowns.
Yeah, the last round was everybody against Coach. I'm still 5-time undefeated pickle champion against 12-year-olds. It's up on my bedroom wall, actually. It's a plaque.
Oh, man. Awesome. All right. Well, no, I appreciate all this. I think 45 minutes is kind of a good I don't know, boundary threshold for us to stay within, so we're not losing people's attention, becoming, you know, that boring group of people that nobody really wants to listen to. But yeah, no, I think that all this stuff is really great. And again, you know, just going through the bullet points of this, yeah, recapping the college camp, but you know, how do we get to a point where the majority of our players, or if not all of them, are recruitable by the time they attend an event like that? So the development side for us is super important. And, you know, the knowledge we're giving, and obviously we can have these conversations on a one-on-one basis with as many parents as we can until we're blue to the face. But I think that something like this, with this, these meetings that we can convert into podcasts, I mean, if people want to listen to it, great. If they don't, it's on, you know, that's on them too. But, yeah, I believe that, like, there's got to be a way that we, you know, work from the top down. So if we're working with our recruitable, or we're doing things for our recruitable athletes, what are we doing to get our young guys to that point, and how are we roadmapping that? And so I appreciate your guys' input. I appreciate you guys being out there with our players. I appreciate the college guys that are on, you know, that are on this call, that were out there recruiting this weekend. And I appreciate, just, you know, being a part of a program, being a part of a staff that, you know, that cares about these little things and the details. So, yeah, that's all I got. That's pretty much it. So, for next week, I mean, we'll probably come up with some topics, but, I think that, today's been a good one, and, hope you guys all enjoy your day. Tony, you gotta mute your camera. You gotta mute your mic, but we almost got through this in a clean fashion. All right, guys. Well, you guys take care. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, Joe.
See you guys. Bye.